It's on mute. Oh, there we go. Now you can hear me. All right. Probably turn that down. Everyone will have a headache in 5 minutes. All right. Good to go. So yeah, 5 o'clock. Been a long day. Has it been going well? Everyone learning a lot? Not bored yet. You're not drinking, so that's good. Just a few more sessions. So as a reminder, in case I forget, Nick Harris is presenting after me. What are you presenting on? You don't even remember. Mobile service, is that right? It's a really good talk. It was actually one of the highest rated talks at TechEd New Zealand, and I think he's got everything new for this one. So I definitely recommend sticking around, so don't leave on us quite just yet after this talk. Oh, it's not in here? Okay, it's in a different room. 7 and 8 upstairs. So anywho, my name is Nathan Totten. I'm a technical evangelist. I work at Microsoft on Windows Azure. I work on a couple things, Windows Azure websites. For those of you, I recognize a lot of you from my earlier talk on Windows Azure websites. I also work on Node.js. So for those that aren't familiar, Microsoft has actually been spending a significant amount of resources investing in Node.js, which is kind of new for us. It's an open source, completely open framework, actually built on top of the Chrome V8, Google's Chrome V8 Java engine. So pretty interesting territory for us, and I get to work on that. So that's pretty exciting. So agenda, we're going to do a brief intro to Node.js for those that aren't familiar. Actually, to start off, I want to ask a question. How many here have used Node.js? How many here are just here, kind of they want to learn a little bit about it? Cool. Awesome. That's what I expect. And okay, great. So we're going to do a brief intro to Node.js. We're going to talk about Node.js on Windows and Windows Azure. Then I'm going to do a bunch of demos. I think that's mostly what everyone wants to see. And then we should have some time at the end, depending on how long I ramble on, for some Q&A. So we should have about 5 to 15 minutes, depending on the pace of things, for some Q&A. So a couple assumptions. This is a 200-level talk, so it's going to be coding, but it's not hopefully not just a 101 intro. We're going to do some coding. We're going to get into some semi-advanced stuff. And then the reason I asked the question is I do assume that basically you at least know kind of what Node.js is, but I'm not going to assume you're a Node programmer. So I'm going to go into a little bit of intro. Windows Azure, so we've had a lot of talks on Windows Azure today, so I'm not going to introduce the concepts again with Windows Azure. I'm not going to explain Windows Azure websites again, which is okay if you weren't in the other talks, but this isn't explicitly a learning Windows Azure talk. It's more about Node.js in the cloud. So we're going to use some of the stuff in Windows Azure, some of the Windows Azure services, but we're not going to necessarily dive into what they are. So just to set some expectations. So what is Node.js? Most people in here are probably at least familiar with what Node.js is, or at least aware of it. JavaScript on the server. Probably that can go both ways. A lot of people think that's terrible. A lot of people think it's great. I'm assuming, since you're in this talk, that you like JavaScript. If you don't, this may not be the right place for you. So Node.js is an event-driven I/O-based server-side JavaScript. And what I mean by that is basically everything in Node.js is asynchronous. Everything is event-driven. Everything's sort of callback. So it runs basically on a single Node.js runs on a single thread. And you can think of a Node.js application as running on a single thread. There's some more advanced scenarios, but for our purposes, it's a single-threaded application that sort of processes things in a queue. And what this means is it's very easy to manage your application. You don't need to understand things like multi-threading. You don't need to understand locks, all that kind of crazy stuff that goes along with asynchronous programming usually. So it's a very, very, very easy programming model to learn, but also very powerful and very efficient. Another important thing to understand about Node.js, and a benefit actually of it, is that it's, again, with its not with not being thread-based, it means that your things like HTTP connections, WebSocket connections, are very cheap in the sense that rather than allocating a thread on your server, you're just allocating a little bit of memory in the heap, which makes connections to your server very efficient and scalable. So a little bit of an animation just to kind of show how that thread-based, single-threaded, event-based model works for Node.js. So what we have here, let me just start that over. What we have is basically a work queue. You can think of every operation in a Node.js application as being a tiny bit of task that runs in this queue. And Node just one by one executes those tasks and then we'll execute the callbacks for those tasks. So again, makes programming on Node.js extremely simple, and also for some things very efficient. So what is Node.js good for? With the way that Node.js doesn't allocate threads for connections, it's really good for things like long polling, for WebSockets, for very, very high-scale HTTP services. Node works extremely well for that. It's also good for things like media service proxies, these connection-based things. It also is extremely easy to make REST services in Node.js. REST services typically are JSON-based services. Because we're building Node.js is JavaScript, we don't have to worry about complicated serialization or changing of formats. It makes it very easy to build thin wrappers on things like a database or a document database like MongoDB. Anything client-side oriented, it's really easy to make client-side applications with Node.js, especially if you're a JavaScript programmer. It's okay for things like these simple forms-based CRUD web applications. It works. You can make an application with that. However, you're probably going to find that something a little more mature like Rails or ASP.NET is going to be easier for building those applications. ASP.NET MVC, for example, we have a lot of tooling. We've invested a lot in building a very rich experience in Visual Studio that makes building those, you know, create, retrieve, update, delete sort of applications extremely easy to make. You'll probably find that it's a little harder in Node. You can certainly do it. Node is wrong for a couple things. Don't use Node to render video. Don't use Node to render images, anything like that. Any CPU-intensive work is generally not going to be acceptable for Node just because of how it works. That normally requires fanning out processes on many threads, et cetera. It's not gonna be very efficient. It's really not going to work at all. So definitely don't use it for that. So pros and cons. We talked a little bit about the JavaScript, right? This can be a pro and con. Again, I'm assuming for everyone in here it's a pro. I like it because I can build very rich client-side web applications in the same language. I can use something like Backbone.js or Ember.js to build a rich client-side application in JavaScript. I can reuse some of the code actually on the server and client, share code between those, but I'm also not sort of switching my brain between the languages. I can write them both in JavaScript. Makes it really easy, which I think is kind of fun. If anything, Node is fun. That's the lesson for the day, right? Clean, simple API. The API of Node is pretty small compared to something like .NET. Not a lot of built-in functions for it. It's very clean. It's very consistent. Again, the simple concurrency model I mentioned with the threading. And then, again, idle connections are nearly free. You're only allocating a little bit of memory in the heap for something like an HTTP connection or a WebSockets connection. And when you're not actively using those connections, you're getting them for nearly free on your web server, whereas something more traditional like ASP.NET, you're allocating, certainly there's process management and things, but you're more or less allocating a larger amount of resources for a connection like that. Node is very modular, so there's a lot of different packages which we'll dive into. There's a package manager for Node, a lot of different packages we can use for Node. There's a ton of different stuff. Even though it is pretty new, there is a lot available to it. Some of the bad things about Node, there's not a lot of standardization. If you're familiar with ASP.NET, if you're an ASP.NET developer, you probably know there's kind of a right way to do things, or at least there is a common way to do a lot of things. With Node, it's pretty young, so there's a lot of different choice. There's a lot of different modules, but this also maybe makes it a little more confusing. There's not necessarily a standard testing framework. There's not necessarily a standard validation framework. You kind of pick and mix and match all your different things, which can be fun, but also can make it a little more challenging. Young and not widely adopted. This is changing every day, but it is still pretty new. It's also pretty bare metal. If you're a developer that really likes the experience of a rich IDE like Visual Studio, Node is sort of on the other end of that spectrum. You're talking about a text editor and the command line. So I mentioned there's a lot of application frameworks. We're going to discuss some of them. Node has a very rich open source community. There's a lot of different stuff available. All these sort of things, Connect, standard middleware, Express.js is what we're going to actually use in the demo, and a number of other application frameworks. Express is actually becoming sort of the standard for web development on Node.js, which is what we're going to use in the demo. But again, a lot of choice, a lot of different packages, all open source. You can use whichever one you prefer. So moving on. So Node.js on Windows. I mentioned at the beginning that Microsoft has worked through with the creators of Node.js actually to port Node.js over to Windows. Initially, Node.js was actually built natively for Linux. We, working with Joint and the other founders, we've actually, the other contributors to the project, we've actually ported, they've actually ported Node.js over natively to Windows. This gives you Node.exe. You don't have to run this in any sort of emulator like Cygwin or something awful like that. It's a native process that runs on Windows. Additionally, we've built out a module called IIS-Node. This actually enables you to host Node processes in IIS, in Windows Internet Information Service, a standard web server. Through that, you get some of the standard benefits of IIS server, which I'll talk about in a second. And then most modules are supported as is, so anything that pretty much works on Linux or Mac will work on Windows. And the performance is actually on par with Linux, which is great. A lot of people ask about it. I know there's a lot of projects out there that actually, they work on Windows, but they don't necessarily work on Windows. Node.js you can think of as basically working on both platforms equally. So I think is great. Node has a built-in from the very beginning. Really, Node had this sort of idea of package management. So it's very easy to install the packages you want to use. I'll show this in the demo, so we'll just cover this real quick. But I want you to be familiar with the terms when I'm using this in the demo. So Node Package Manager, which is NPM in the command line, allows us to install these packages like Express that I talked about. So again, I'll demo that standard package manager like NuGet or gems. So IIS Node I mentioned. A couple of the things really quick that IIS Node gives you. IIS Node is actually what we use in Windows Azure websites to host Node. We also use it in web roles. You can host Node.js in Windows Azure outside of IIS Node, but in websites we do use IIS Node. This gives you a couple things, process management. So I mentioned Node.js, a Node.exe process is basically single-threaded. IIS Node handles those multiple threads, multiple processors for us. So we don't need to worry about, if we're running Node, our application on a server with 8 cores, IIS Node handles that scale for us, which makes it very easy to develop our applications. You also get the standard benefits of IIS, like HTTP logs, all the management capabilities, etc. It also allows you to host nodes side by side. So we've actually put some samples out there where you can use Node.js for things like WebSockets, which it works very well for. But then we use ASP.NET MVC to build sort of the bulk of our application because, frankly, for a lot of things, ASP is easier. So you can run those side by side. So a lot of cool things with IIS Node. IIS Node is super easy. Once it's installed, all it is a regular HTTP handler. So you just have to make a minor change to your web config file to actually get Node.js working. So that's it for slides. I know that's a little bit boring, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page. We understand the terminology of Node.js before we jump into the demos. So now I actually want to show you a variety of different things, a bunch of different things on Node.js. Does anyone have any questions before we continue? Yes, go ahead. Yep, so the question was, what sort of real-world applications would you use use a Node.js app for instead of, say, an ASP.NET application? And really, the real-time connected applications like WebSockets and long polling, or HTTP polling, that's like the most common scenario that you'll see people using that for. A lot of developers are actually using Node just for that. So if you're building, say, a real-time web application, which I'll actually demo how we can do that in Node and how easy it is, but it's common for developers to use, say, Rails or ASP.NET, the framework they're more familiar with for building the bulk of their app, but then using Node.js for the real-time communication aspect of their application. So that's by far, like WebSockets and long HTTP polling is by far the most common real-world scenario. Another example, actually, we use Node.js in our Windows Azure mobile services that Nick's going to talk about. We actually use that to run some of the code on the server just because it basically, we run these little scripts, and it makes it very easy for developers to write. You don't need to understand .NET, C#. It's just JavaScript, which is by far, I think, one of the more popular languages. So, yeah, quick question.
What kind of performance degradation happens when running Node inside IIS?
So the question is, what kind of performance degradation happens by running Node in IIS Node? I guess I don't have... I guess, specific percentages or anything on that. But really, you can actually get, depending on what you're doing, you can get more performance in certain areas, especially without putting a lot of effort into managing multiple processes and stuff. You shouldn't see much, if any, performance degradation if running it in there. I mean, that's what we run in IIS Node. It runs extremely well. It's a native module. It's running native Node. So you really shouldn't see a performance hit. I don't know. I don't have a specific, like, 2% or something like that, unfortunately. So, okay, let's move on. Oh, my computer locked. Let's move on to some of the demos really quick. Let me type in my password. For those of you earlier, you may know my password. No, not really. It's not my computer password. That would be bad. And now someone's sending emails to my boss. So, all right. So the first thing I want to do is just show you the most basic Node.js application. I'm actually going to build a simple web server. Node.js has built-in, it has a built-in HTTP server. So I'm going to, in about 6 lines of code, build that simple web server and show you how to run that. So let me go to my demos folder and just actually open a command window and open Sublime Text up in that. Oops, actually, let me make a directory for it. Hello Node. Oh, let me make the font bigger. I changed it back after my talk since it's hard to read for me. Let's see. Oh, that didn't work. Font. Which one is it? Oh, there we go. No, font. 16. There we go. 72 might be a little excessive. Let's try that. How's that? Is that okay? People in the back, can you see it? If you can't, raise your hand. Okay, cool. Perfect. All right. So we made a directory, hello node. Change to go to that. So let me just open up Sublime and make a server.js file. So basically, I just made a simple JavaScript file, and I do have, I'm not going to make you guys watch me type everything out, so I do have a code snippet. So let's just go ahead and insert that. It's called Node Server. So here's our basic Node application. So a couple different things to note here. First, that require at the top. Require you can think of as your using statement in Node.js. It's basically importing that HTTP module, which again is the native Node.js web server. And then in just a few lines of code, we're going to create a server and we're going to respond to every request with just a simple hello world. And then we're going to listen on localhost and we're going to log. So this is our basic web server, extremely simple. And I'm going to run this outside of Node.js. So let's go back to our command and just run node and server.js. We just need to pass in the file that we're running. You can think of this as our main. And Node.js, just for everyone, is I have already installed it on my computer, obviously, and I just have it in my path variable. That's why it's available in the command line. I did not save it. That would be probably important. So now we have a server running on port 1331. So let's open up everyone's favorite web browser. Why are you laughing? Who laughed? It's not allowed. So so there we go. A little bit small. Let's zoom that in. Hello. So pretty simple, right? That's our basic Node.js application. So thank you all for coming, and I'll see you next time. No. Okay, so that's a really simple Node.js application, right? Basically running, this is running outside of IIS Node. It's just running on our process. This is about as easy as it gets. So what I want to do now is actually show you how to build something a little more interesting. I'm going to use that Express framework I mentioned to build just the basic Express website, and then I'm actually going to deploy that to Windows Azure website. So this is a talk a little bit about Windows Azure as well. So going back to my console, let me stop this, and then let's make Hello Express. So for Windows Azure, we actually give you a really great set of command line tools. One of the most interesting things about this that I really like is these command line tools are actually written in Node.js. And what this means is these Windows Azure command line tools run on any platform. So we're at Microsoft Tech Ed. You guys are probably all Windows users, and I highly doubt anyone has a Mac. What is going on? All right. So if you do have a Mac, though, and if you prefer to develop on Mac, these Windows Azure command lines will run, and actually everything I'm going to show you will run on Mac, Linux, and Windows. So these, again, these command lines, these Azure command lines are written in Node.js, and they're going to help us create our Node.js application. So I'm just going to go, so through the, we can do everything, with, most everything with Windows Azure through these command lines without even visiting the portal. So what I want to do here is I'm going to create a Windows Azure website and make this folder a Git repository so that we can deploy to Windows Azure. So Azure site create, and let's just name this hello AU, oops, AU, and put some numbers, and then Git. So I'm saying we're going to create a Windows Azure website. We're going to name it hello AU 56564, and that Git, I'm enabling Git deployment, which for those that aren't familiar, Git is a source control. Git deployment, so I'm enabling that on the server, and then I'm actually going to turn that Hello Express directory into a Git repository, which will enable me to deploy that application to Windows Azure. So let me click yes, and there's a number of options for this command line. You can select the location. We have a lot of different data centers. You can select which subscription, all kinds of stuff. I'm just using the defaults, and access is denied. Epic. All right. Oh, did I create all of, hang on. Let's try Azure account set Anton demo 1. Switch it. Azure account list. I literally just did this. Azure account. So we get to see more of the command line tools set up account list. Oh, internal, that's why. And let's go ahead and try that again. There we go. Correct. So we are actually, what? All right. Azure account download. Let's do this all over again. We'll show you from the very beginning the excitement of downloading the publish settings. Oh, that is too big. All right. Hang on. All right, we're going to do this a different way. A much more fun way. All right, so skipping that, assuming that worked. Man, today is just not going well for me. All right. So I'm going to create it through the portal, Azure AU, something, 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 and we can do the same thing just through the portal. So West US. Oh, that's why. Yep. I'm trying to create it in, yes, that is, I need to set my location. Let's just prove that it works so that you all don't think I'm a fool. Location, West US. So that's a fantastic question. Why does it care about your location? So the reason for that is actually a limit. All right. We're going to skip that and we'll do it the other way. So the good question, though, why does it care about your location? So the reason it cares about your location is actually a limitation with our preview environment. Right now, when I create a site for the first time and I select a data center, it's actually locking that subscription to a single data center. That's only a temporary thing. We're going to change that eventually. But other than that, I don't know why this is happening. I'm going to blame it on the internet. No, I have much. I have like 7 accounts with less than 10. I don't know. We'll do it the other way. So we can do this exact same thing through the portal. We can create a site and set up Git publishing. Everyone likes a fancy UI anyway, so this is more fun. So while this is creating and setting up my Git publishing, let me just go ahead and move on and actually create my website. So, I closed the command line. Hello Express. Azure Air. Delete that. All right, so back in Azure Express. So let's just get our site set up, and then I'll deploy that using our Git credentials or using our Git publish a different way. So npm install express. So this is telling Node Package Manager to install the Express Web Framework. Just take a few seconds to download. And Express comes with a really handy script that actually allows us to set up the structure of our application with sort of automatically. So I'm just going to run a Node script to actually create that, to create our Express site. So Node modules, Express, bin, Express. Yes. And then npm install again, because it actually added some dependencies. And this is actually installing Jade, which is a view engine. So now let me open that up in Sublime. Open the whole folder up and see what we have. So this is pretty small, isn't it? So for those that can see it. So what we had here is basically we made a folder called Node Modules, which contains our Express module. Express also added some of our standard folders, public folders for JavaScript, CSS, kind of some basic stuff. And then it also added our app.js. So this is a more complicated version of what I showed you before. This is hosting a Node.js website using Express, which is similar to what I showed you before, only through the Express framework, which gives us a very rich web development platform. This also uses what's called a Jade view engine. Jade is sort of a very lightweight view engine. This is what it looks like, no angle brackets or anything. Makes it really easy, really nice to code. You can use actually a variety of different view engines with Express. Jade is the default, though. So one thing I need to do for Windows Azure is Windows Azure expects the entry point to be server.js. If you notice, the Express creates app.js, so I'm just going to rename that to server.js. Make that a little less awkward. So now we have our server.js, and Express sets everything to listen basically on a port, and Windows Azure is going to pass the port to listen to. So now that I set up, let's go back to our portal here. So our Git repository is ready. This is what I tried and miserably failed to do via the command line. So we've created a Windows Azure website. We've added a Git repository. And now I'm going to use the command line to actually publish our site to Windows Azure. So first we're going to initialize this as a Git repository. And Git remote add. So we're going to add that remote, which is what we just created. And now we have, and then we're going to add, we're going to just add our source to source control. Git add, we need to, one more thing. Git. We need to add an ignore file, node modules. So this is actually just going to tell Git the source control to not include that node modules folder. So Windows Azure actually downloads those for us, making it extremely easy for us to push to Windows Azure. And actually means we don't need to push all the dependencies with us. So let me just commit, add and commit those files. Git commit, initial. Source. So we've committed all our 8 files there, pretty simple. And now I'm going to publish that Git push Azure master. So now I'm actually pushing this to Windows Azure. And it's going to ask me for my password. This is the one you guys all know. Probably shouldn't have told you that. Type in my password, and it's actually then going to push all of my files up to Windows Azure. Look out here, running this command, running npm. So this is really nice. We only pushed 8 small text files up to Windows Azure. All of our packages that are required for our module, which in this case happen to be Express and Jade, are actually going to be pulled down on Windows Azure. So it saves us a lot of time and bandwidth. This actually makes it extremely easy. We're actually just pushing up. This is the first time, but any time we do a diff. Like if we change one line of source code, we're actually just going to push up a little tiny diff. So this makes publishing to Windows Azure really, really fast and really easy. So our site is running now. And we also see here in the UI, we give you this really nice deployment. So we actually keep a deployment history, which I'll show in a second, allows us to actually roll back. And let me view that application. Fingers crossed. Otherwise, all right, good. Otherwise, we would need some beer. All right, so we've got that Express app running. So that was really easy, right? We created that default application, deployed it to Windows Azure. Let me make a small change to that application and show you how the deployment history works, how this makes it really easy on Windows Azure. So, let me open this window up and just open our Jade and then say, let's open our route. And let's title this Hello Windows Azure. So back to the command prompt, git add, git commit, changed title, git push Azure master. And so now we're pushing this back up to Windows Azure, and password again. There is a way you can save the password. I just obviously am extremely concerned about security, so I'd... All right, is that joke getting old yet? For those that watch Cloud Cover, you know that I only have like 6 jokes. One person in here watches Cloud Cover. All right, so let's go back to our deployments. Click that. And now we see we actually have 2 deployments to our websites. So this is really cool because it basically, we pushed up that diff really quickly. And let me refresh this. Welcome to Windows Azure. And now we can actually, if we wanted to, say we messed up, we can roll back, redeploy, roll back right to that deployment. And in just a few seconds, it's actually going to roll us back to that old deployment. Click refresh, and bam. So super easy to deploy to Windows Azure, super easy to roll back if you make a mistake. Very fast, very easy development experience. So now that I've shown you how to publish a simple web application to Windows Azure, I want to show you a little bit about, I want to go back to client-side development, show you a couple tips and tricks on how to develop on the client, including how we debug our application. And then after that, once we kind of are a little bit more of a Node expert, we'll move into some more advanced Windows Azure scenarios and republish our application. So a lot of people, the first thing a lot of people ask is how they debug on Windows Azure. On Node.js. So Node.js, we're just running in the command line. There's actually a very cool module that exists called Node Inspector. This actually gives us a very full, very rich debugging environment. We can stop, we can set breakpoints, we can see all the normal things. We can step through our application, everything we would expect in a rich debugging environment. The other cool thing about Node.js is this Node Inspector, this debugging environment, runs in a web browser. This actually, unfortunately, does not run in Internet Explorer. It's actually only built for WebKit, so we're gonna have to run Chrome. So it's gonna be awful. So, all right. So I'm just gonna run this application we just created. I'm gonna run it locally, though. I'm gonna enable debugging on it, which is extremely simple. So Node debug, and then server.js. So now it's actually running our application. It's running on port 3000, and which is Express's default port. And then it's listening for debugging. I'm going to open another command line. And oops, let me just, for simplicity, go away, Visual Studio. I don't need you. All right. And so now I'm going to run Node Inspector, which this is our debugging inspector. And so now this is actually going to run another web server on port 8080, and it's gonna attach itself to that Node debugging process, allowing us actually to step through. So let me just go to localhost 8080. And so what you'll see here is we have a whole ton of stuff, but let's go to our server. Oops. Sorry, can we make this bigger? Yeah. It look ugly, but bigger. So let's go to server. Where did my server go? Does anyone see it? No one can see it but me. Is this a tech set? Where's my server? What's happening? Demo, Hello Express, application, request. Why am I missing this? I know it's in here. Okay, well, we're going to go to index. All right. That's why I can, okay, anyway, moving on. So what we have here is basically, again, a very rich debugging experience. This actually looks very similar to the Chrome client-side debugging experience, but again, we're doing server-side development. So I'm going to open up another Chrome window and go to localhost 3,000. And so we didn't have a breakpoint set. Let me set a breakpoint on there, refresh. And going back, we see that we've hit our debugging breakpoint. And we can do anything we would normally expect. Again, we have a rich, we have a console where we can kind of call thing or render index title debugging. Oops. And maybe that's not going to work. And we can hit play. Oh, I meant to step over that. Oh, there we go. Okay, perfect. So we have a really rich debugging experience all through the browser. For those wondering, we are working to make that work in Internet Explorer. So so hopefully we'll have that that ready soon. I'm serious. We are working to make it work in Internet Explorer, but right now it isn't. So it only works in WebKit. So if you're on a Mac, it'll run in Chrome or Safari. If you're on Windows, Chrome is basically your choice. It's just that they use some JavaScript APIs that aren't implemented on and some rendering stuff that's specific to WebKit. So a really rich debugging experience. Basically, this gives you full, you know, again, full debugging. You can step through all kinds of stuff that you would normally do that you can do in a rich IDE like Visual Studio. And again, cross-platform. Common thing people ask is, can you do this? Can you debug remotely? And the answer to that is yes, as long as the port that it listens to, which is normally 5850, it could be other ports, but yes, you can attach this to a remote server and do remote debugging also. If you can't open the port and if you can't connect to it, there's some limitations, but it is possible So you can. A common thing is to run it locally on your server and connect to it, so you can do sort of remote debugging. But the Node Inspector runs on your local server. You just need to open port 8080. Sorry, I explained that incorrectly. So that's the first thing. That's debugging on Node.js. The next thing I want to show you is something pretty simple. It's called Supervisor. So a common thing. Let me just go ahead and show you one thing here. Node Inspector. Let's close that, and let's keep our command open. So we've got our node application running again on port 3000. Let me refresh that. Get our normal view. Oh, let me just stop it. So node server.js. So we've got it running on port 3000. So if we want to make a change to this application, say I actually want to change some routes here. Let me go to my server.js file, and right now I basically am listening on this get. I'm sending that index route. Let's say we want to change that our default route to home. Let me click save, and let me go back here and refresh, and it still works. So what this means is our change didn't get picked up. Node is basically caching all the files and running the version we saved when we started Node.js. It's not looking for changes in our application server. So what we can do is actually use this other handy tool called Node Supervisor, which will take care of watching files for changes. This makes developing locally very easy, because right now what we would have to do if we wanted to actually see our changes, we would have to stop our server and then restart it. And now we see our changes cannot get. So now we have our home route. So obviously, if you're doing a lot of changing, going back and testing, this becomes cumbersome. So Node Supervisor makes this super easy. You can install this. It's just actually another Node package. I should have mentioned that with Node Inspector too. I already have it installed, so I won't actually run it. But npm install Node Inspector. And important, add the WACG flag, and this tells it to install it globally, so you don't have to actually include it in every application. You can include it locally on your computer. Same thing for Supervisor. So this is Inspector, same command for Supervisor. So now I'm going to run my application with Supervisor. I'm actually just going to do the same similar command, Supervisor. Oops. Supervisor. Oops. Supervisor. Oh, man. Ugh. Server.js. All right. So now I'm running Node.js through Supervisor, which again is monitoring file changes for us. Still listening on port 3000. Let's refresh this so we still have our home route. Now let's go ahead and fix that, because that's ridiculous. We obviously want a default route. And we'll see here, Node actually picked up that change and it restarted our server. And let's go ahead and refresh. We can't get home, and now we get there. So a really simple trick, but if you're new to Node.js, definitely recommend using Supervisor. It makes the learning process much simpler. So now that I've shown you, let's see, what time is it? We got five, so we got about half an hour. Perfect. Okay, so now that I've shown you how to deploy a simple web application to Windows Azure, and I've shown you how to do some local debugging, some tips developing locally, I want to show you how to do some a little bit more advanced stuff. So the first thing I want to talk about is socket.io. Socket.io is a module that makes it very easy to do web sockets, to do HTTP polling, to basically do this real-time communication. So it was asked what the sort of the best type of application to develop or to run a Node.js on is, or what the most common one. And again, this is typically a real-time communication application, a game or something like chat, etc. So using socket.io, it's actually extremely easy to build this application yourself. Socket.io is just an open source module that makes these sort of real-time communications super easy. So I want to add that to our existing application. So we've got Supervisor running. I'll just go ahead and leave that running. And let me switch. So I need to make a few changes to my app. First off, I actually want to change our view. So for this, I'm just going to add a simple form. What I'm going to build is basically a text box with a button, and it's going to send a message to the server, and then it's going to show it in an unordered list. So pretty simple, but hopefully the concept makes sense. So again, I'm going to use a snippet for this. Index. So I've just added some script here. So this is actually, I've referenced jQuery, just from jQuery host. I've referenced socket.io, which I forgot to install socket.io. Actually, I do need to kill this. So let's kill this npm install socket.io. So I'm installing that socket.io package now. And then we'll be able to use it. All right, let's rerun Supervisor. So now our app's running. So this is the client-side portion of socket.io. There's a few very simple APIs, and what basically we're going to do is we create this socket connection, which abstracts it. Socket.io basically looks for, what does the browser support? Does it support web sockets? Does it support long polling? It goes all the way back. It works on any browser all the way back to, I believe, IE 5.5. So quite a ways back. So it really works on any browser. Web sockets is only really available on the most modern browser. So if you want to do real-time communication, you need to do other things like long polling. Socket.io takes care of all that complication for us. So what we're going to do is on this event called news, we're going to show the data again, just show it in a simple unordered list. And then when we actually enter text into this text box and send it and click send or submit, we're actually going to send that message to the server. So that's the client side. Really easy, just a few lines of code. I'm going to go ahead and change the server side now. So I need to make a little modification to our web server. Snippet. Socket.io server. So this I'm actually adding the socket server. You'll notice this line is actually the same line that was before. I actually just had it return a variable server, which I'm then passing to socket.io. And then I'm just setting some configuration. This is an important note here. Socket.io, as I mentioned, supports a variety of different transports. So WebSockets, long polling, iframe, all kinds of stuff. So right now, Windows Azure Websites is running on Windows Server 2008, IIS 7.5. So IIS 7.5, Windows itself, Windows Server, does not support WebSockets. It's a new addition to the HTTP stack, and we don't support it yet on Windows Azure. The reason because is Windows Server doesn't support it until IIS 8 on Windows Server 2012. So right now I'm going to revert to only using long polling. However, this is a temporary issue. We're working hard to get Windows Server 2012 on Windows Azure Websites, in which case you'll be able to use WebSockets. So for now, though, for those paying close attention, we are just going to use long polling, but still works very easy and it's still very efficient. I think the alcohol's starting soon, so if everyone starts leaving, I'm going to know why. So this is just our simple setup of socket.io, and then I'm going to go ahead and just add some connections. So this is sort of the opposite of what we had on the client side. We're responding to a message event when a message gets sent, and then we're actually going to push that message out to the news event. And this is going to broadcast actually to all of the clients that are connected to our application. So we have that all set up. I've been running Supervisor, so we don't actually have to stop and start the process. Let me just refresh that. And now we have this very fancy UI addition to my UI, and click Test and Submit. So obviously that didn't seem like much, right? Just some magic jQuery there. So what we actually did, though, is we sent a message, you'll see here. We actually connected the web browser using long polling to the backend server. We pushed that message to the server, and it actually broadcasts it back to our web client. What gets really interesting, though, is when we add a second client. So just for the sake of proving this, I'm going to open this up in Internet Explorer. And make that a little smaller. Refresh that. So now we have two. Why is that say submit? Oh, that's the default value, I see. So we have two different browsers open, and hello, IE. Submit, oh, fancy. Hello, Chrome. So real-time communication, again, not between browsers locally. This is actually between the server. So extremely easy. This was really only about 8 or 9 lines of code to actually accomplish this. So just to prove that this is working, I do want to deploy this up to Windows Azure and see that working in the cloud. So let's go git add again, git commit, added socket IO. Oh, one thing I may have forgot. Yep, good thing. So we just need to tell the server that we're using socket.io through this package JSON file. This is what Windows Azure looks for when it knows when it's actually figuring out what assemblies or what dependencies are required. So let me add that again. So we have two commits there, and now let's push that to Windows Azure. Git push Azure master. Password incorrectly. Trust me, that's not the same error. That was me messing up my password. All right, there we go. So we're pushing that to Windows Azure, and in just a second, let's open our web browser back up. You'll see in real time that deployment's happening. Updated packages are our last commit. We're doing that deployment. It's downloading socket.io because this is a new package that we hadn't previously had on the server. This will take just a few seconds longer as it's running Node Package Manager, downloading socket.io, and getting us ready to go. So just a few seconds here. And it's also getting, you'll notice all these other things. So with socket.io, there's a lot of packages available, and socket.io depends on a lot of other packages, so it's downloading all the dependencies, et cetera. So we're now waiting. This one takes a little longer. So it's actually attempting to compile the code. It's going to fail. It's taking quite a bit longer than normal. It's pretty late in Seattle, so the guy who's actually responsible for running these deployments is asleep. All right. So our deployment is available. Do I have that open? Yeah, I already have that open. So let's refresh that. And once again, to prove that this does work, not just locally. Hello, Australia. Awesome. This may be an internet issue. Hang on, let me refresh. Let's see why this isn't working. Wait, I know what I'm going to do. Let's just make sure it's not. Oh, man. This is not going well for me. This is really bad. I'm sorry. I apologize. I feel bad about this. It should work. Worked in the speaker room. All right. Let's go actually to our developer tools and see if we can see an error message. Well, we should learn from this. Could not load allow what? Oh, we didn't. Oops. All right. Why didn't somebody catch that? Localhost. That is the problem. Do not lesson. Do not hard code variables. But we're gonna do it again, just because I clearly didn't learn my lesson. Oh, thank you. Oh man. See, it's gonna be awesome now once it worked. We all work together as a team. So let me push that up to Windows Azure again. Hopefully, fixed it. Git push Azure master. And this won't take very long because we already have Socket.io installed, so this should just take a few seconds. Yep. And we don't have any packages to install, so it's just messing with us now. Let's watch our deployment spinner. Any questions while we wait? Oh, it's, oh, never mind. Yes. Yes. Oh, somebody. Oh, nice. Yes. So the question was, hey now. Oh man, now I can't put this on channel 9. So, all right. Sorry about that. It does work. So the question was there was a message about a module compiling. Yes. Good question. So there are certain things that kind of basically what it was doing is it was trying to compile a native module. There's basically native options you can use for some modules. It's actually not required. And this is where I said some things work. Most everything works on Windows. Some of the native modules, basically the ones that are written in native C or C++, don't work always on Windows. However, there is generally a fallback option, which usually works quite as well. So in this case, we just fell back to the option that was supported in yes. All right. I'll leave. I suppose it's like, you guys watch Seinfeld? It's like Seinfeld, like finish on a high note. So I'm done now. Oh, geez. Now we're, all right. Nope, that's, that I'm probably going to get fired for. So, all right. Let me refresh this. That's a bit of a sore subject. Something. There we go. You can't escape it. So, I didn't save this. So it's just in memory, which is why when I refresh it, it goes away. So that's actually yes. So very exciting. All right. I'm going to take this down. This is like yesterday. I'm pretty much done. I think I'm no longer going to show audience participation demos. I can't, especially in Australia. I've never, actually, let me just say this. That Scott Gu demo that everyone saw yesterday, the send a message to Scott is what it was, and I stole it. That demo has never had a problem in all the times I've seen it delivered. So I don't know what it is about Australia. You guys are just very inappropriate. So. I don't know, something in the water, maybe. So, anywho, all right. Not so. I'm just playing. So we saw very easily, with a few minor issues, it's really actually very easy to do these Socket.io applications. So again, this was just a very few simple lines of code, a module that already existed, and now you could imagine what we could build with this. An inappropriate chat application would be one example, or we could build a game. So we've actually produced a number of samples that show how to do gaming in real time with something simple like tic-tac-toe. but how you could actually use Node.js to do a real-time tic-tac-toe across browser. So some pretty exciting stuff you can do. And again, the memory, if you actually run this on your own server and you actually had a lot of clients to this and you looked at something like this, the memory utilization would be amazingly low. You can get a ton of real-time connections on something like this application with very little memory or CPU allocation. So that's where Node.js really shines. Which I think is pretty exciting. And that, I mean, that was really pretty easy to build, minus a few snags. So what do we got? We have about 20 minutes left. So we I mentioned ISNate WebSockets. So that'll actually become even better, even faster, once we get IIS 8, which is Windows Server 2012, running on Windows Azure, which will be coming. We're hard at work at that. We just need to do some more testing. So I showed you a lot about Windows Azure, I showed you how to use Node.js, how to do some stuff in Node.js. Nothing really specific to Windows Azure, right? I showed you how to deploy to Windows Azure, but that's basically just running in any hosting environment. The next thing I want to show you is actually how we can utilize some of our Windows Azure services from Node.js. So we have a lot of services in Windows Azure, table storage, which is a schemaless table storage. We have SQL databases. We have blob storage, which is just for storing binary objects, blob objects. And we have things like Service Bus, which is a queuing service. And most of these Windows Azure services are actually also available to Node developers. So we actually have an SDK, which is called Azure, which allows you to very easily use these Windows Azure services. So what I want to do is actually I want to store those messages we created in Windows Azure table storage. So this is really easy using our SDK. So Hello Express. So now I'm going to install that module, npm install Azure. And this is actually, for those interested, this is actually the same module that's used for the command line. So this is one module which does all the command line scripting and also has all the SDK in it, all written in Node. I think that's pretty cool. And also, this is all open source. This is all of our Windows Azure SDKs, .NET, Node, et cetera, are all actually open source on GitHub. So if you want to download it and learn, you know, see how it works or make your own version of it, you're definitely able to do that. So let's go ahead and so what I want to do now is I have this message here, save the message. I'm actually having second thoughts on this. I'm not sure if we want to save these messages, but let's push through and see. So the first thing I'm going to do is actually create a Windows Azure table. So again, I have a code snippet for this, table create. So I'm just importing that Azure module that we just installed, and then I'm just calling Azure create table service. I'm using this storage account. I just happen to pick one at random. It's called doDrawings, and then I'm passing my storage key. You can actually put that information in your app config setting if you want to put it externally. As we learned earlier, never hard code variables. However, I'm also making that same mistake in the demo, and I'm hard coding these variables. And then we're going to create the table. So I actually that's not what I wanted to do. Open Cloud Storage Studio, and just to prove, this is actually the same storage account, and we have no tables created there. So I'm going to first in a few lines of code, create the table, and then the next thing I want to do is save those messages as they come in. And another snippet. Table save. Oops. Let's format that pretty. There we go. So what I'm doing here now is I'm taking that data. This data variable here is actually just the message, the text that we're sending from the client. And I'm going to create a simple entity with a few keys that are required in Windows Azure Table Service, partition key, row key, and I'm just generating sort of this random row key value here. And then I'm setting the data equal to message. So one thing to note, when we created that table, this Windows Azure Table Storage is schemaless. We didn't tell the table what the data shape looked like. We're just passing any data to Windows Azure Table Storage. So table storage is schemaless. It's also extremely scalable. If you're building a high-scale application and you need very high scalable storage, Windows Azure Table Storage or Blob Storage works extremely well for that. And then we're just calling table service insert entity into this message table that we're going to create, and then we're going to insert the entity. So let's save everything, and now I'm going to do another deployment. One thing, packages. Azure, so we need to add this, And we'll just, so you can set, this is similar to NuGet, if anyone's familiar. You can actually set version numbers, but since this only needs to live for the next 15 minutes, I'm just going to let it install the newest version. So we have our package, we have our module installed, which Node will install, and we've updated here, so we're going to create the table and save the table. And again, we still do not have a table in here. So, perfect. So let me go ahead and commit that, and then push that out to Windows Azure. Git add, git commit. Saving the message. Git push Azure master. I can hear you all typing. You're all getting ready. So we're pushing that up to Windows Azure now. Just a couple seconds. There we go. And now we're going to have to run npm again. Remember, we added that Azure package, so it's going to download that and install it. Just going to take a little bit here, and let's go watch the... Oh, man, this is blinking. Oh, yeah, see? You figured out that I didn't... This is not a production application. Oh, man. Now... Yes, we learned another lesson, didn't we? All right. You guys, crafty. Oh, my God. That is awesome. All right. Great. I really, that's fantastic. Thank you. All right. All right. So let's go to our deployments. And now we're going to, all those are going to save. So there is nothing like, there is no injection attacks on table storage that you're going to get. So you're not going to ruin the Windows Azure data center or anything, hopefully. So, but then again, I didn't even think about it. Oh, man. All right. So actually, I guess you guys have been sending messages, so I don't need to do that. So hopefully we have a table created here. And what? Oh, man. All right. Let's run this locally. I am losing control of this RM node server.js. Run this and. Oh, it ran, so why didn't that? Oh, there we go. Yes. What, let me make sure. Did I. Messages. No, it should be right. Everything is working. It should be working now. Let's see. Yeah, that was weird. Deploy, it deployed. Let's go to localhost. Test or something. Messages and. Oh my gosh. Bad luck today. No. Oh, you're right. I did practice this, okay? Please do not mention any of this on the evaluation. Seriously, this all worked earlier. I did not just come up here and wing this. I feel really bad about this. Sorry. Thank you for reminding me, so let's go ahead and change that hard code. Oh, my gosh. All right. At least we're all having fun, right? Yes, that is an excellent question. So there are a bunch of environmental variables that are passed to the node service, which I should have obviously used. I was trying to keep it really simple for the demo, but I went a little too simple, allowing for various script injection attacks and other things. So let's try this again and execute that. All right, so our message saved there, and we didn't change anything. So actually, I do not know why I didn't save on the server. I don't know. That's weird. We don't have time to debug it. All right. So that should have worked. That is odd. All right. I don't even want to save the messages you guys are sending anyway. It's probably better. This is a mess. So, all right. Moving on. We've got some more things to show. So sorry. Really, I really apologize. That's... I did test this. It did work. But again, please do not mention any of this on the evaluations or I will be fired immediately. So that was using Windows Azure Table Storage. I actually don't want to, but we don't have that much time left, so I want to show one other thing that's pretty cool. So I showed you how to write local applications using Text Editor. I showed you how to run those locally, debug those locally. We also saw how to deploy sort of working applications to Windows Azure and use Windows Azure Table Services. So the other thing I want to show, though, is this new tool we have. So everything I showed you here was using the console, was using a text editor, which is really what I prefer. The next thing I want to show you, though, is Web Matrix, which... Has anyone used WebMatrix before? Do you like it? No one probably likes it, right? Yeah, that's what I figured. So the one thing I want to show you, though, is for Node.js, we've actually added some stuff that I think is pretty cool to WebMatrix. We've added all kinds of syntax highlighting and templating. And really the only reason I show this to you is if you're a hardcore Node developer, you're probably not going to use this. I actually don't use it. I like Sublime Text. I like using the console. But for those who are learning Node.js, I think this is a really great tool. We give you IntelliSense. We give you all kinds of great syntax highlighting. We actually make it super easy to build a Node.js application. So we have some templates. We have this starter site here. Just go ahead and click Next. It's going to install the starter site, configure, et cetera. It's actually configure IS Express, configure Node, and then what we give you here is like links to all the relevant documentation. So again, if you're just learning, this is an excellent tool. I highly recommend checking it out. And let's open our file browser here just really quick. And one thing that is very cool is we give you, again, syntax highlighting. So let's just say, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here. So let's go ahead and say var HTTP equals require. So we give you a couple different, if I spell it right, we give you a couple different things. First off, we give you IntelliSense with the packages that are available in Node.js by default. We also give you IntelliSense with the packages you have installed in this application. So if you add the Azure package, which we don't see here because I don't have it installed, it will actually add it to this list in IntelliSense, which I think is pretty cool. Let's just go ahead and add HTTP. And then we give you IntelliSense with the packages. So create server, all kinds of stuff. So pretty cool. Again, not for everyone, but I do want to point this out. I know a lot of you are learning Node development, and I think it is pretty cool. We've added some really great stuff to WebMatrix. We also support deploying to Windows Azure using web deploy, using incremental deploy, which is really easy. I don't want to show it because it probably won't work. And two, we are running out of time. So, but we also give you, we give you syntax highlighting for JavaScript, of course. The other thing I want to point out with that, our syntax highlighting is not just regular JavaScript syntax highlighting. It's smart enough to actually know the difference between server-side code and client-side code. So we're not going to give you the DOM APIs like document or window in the server-side JavaScript. But once if we open up our client-side JavaScript, we actually will. So let's go chat. And you'll see in here, we will give you that. So we've really thought this through. And I really like this, especially if you're learning how to do Node.js. Last thing I wanted to show you is we do the sort of same thing, syntax highlighting and some IntelliSense for the view templates like Jade, a couple of the other ones. So makes it very easy, and then again, you can deploy right to Windows Azure. You can also run it locally without using the command line. And this runs in IIS Node, so you get those. You can change a file while it's running and refresh, things like that. And this starter site actually shows you the chat. It's similar to what I showed you, but kind of already built, uses every auth, things like that. So I think some really great stuff. Table storage, okay. So that's really all the demos I want to show. Let's switch back to slides just really quick, and then I think we're going to have a little bit of time for Q&A. So we saw some amazing So we saw some great demos. I don't actually have any summaries because those are usually boring. I showed you a lot of different things. Hopefully you learned. Hopefully the few hiccups we had did not deter you. Node is a really fun language to develop in. Even if you're not going to do it at your day job, I think it's something that's really cool just to check out and learn how to do. I mean, we're all here because we probably like programming. It's just something to play around with. And again, works really well in Windows Azure. It does, It does work really well in Windows Azure, so I encourage you to give that a try and host your Node.js applications. If you were in my other talk, I talked about how Windows Azure websites can be used to build very scalable applications. The same thing applies to Node.js applications running in Windows Azure websites. You can build extremely scalable. You can actually build this chat app. You could build the same application we built, but scale it out to a bunch of different web servers using our Windows Azure services as like sessions to keep track of session state. You can use Windows Azure VMs also alongside. One thing I didn't show you, it takes a little bit more time, is you could deploy a Linux VM in Windows Azure and deploy something like MongoDB, which is a common document store to store your data in Windows Azure. You could actually deploy that to a Linux VM in Windows Azure virtual machines. So some really great stuff. Thank you. Again, I really apologize for the demo failures. That was not good, but I guess it added some humor, so it hopefully worked out, but I do apologize for that. Please submit an evaluation. We definitely do this. I give similar talks, so it does definitely help me improve. Be honest, but also don't be too mean. So you can win that mouse. So thank you very much for attending. We've got a few more minutes, and I think we've got about 20 minutes till Nick starts. So I will definitely be here, and we'll do a couple minutes of questions. And feel free to leave if you have somewhere else to go. Beer. Yes, question. So from a scalability standpoint, the difference between long polling and WebSockets, there is a bit of a difference. Like you are doing more requests, you are making more connections. So it will be more performant to use WebSockets. Again, it's not something that I can say like, oh, it's twice as scalable or whatever, but you are going to get more scale. You'll be able to get more connections out of using WebSockets. So, yes. 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 So we will be supporting side-by-side. We will, or we do support side-by-side deployments. There's different stable versions. The question was, Node.js updates very regularly, so how will we keep up with the different versions? So we'll support several different versions. Like usually they're bug fix versions, non-breaking, so we'll always update to that. But we'll let you choose, like, do you want to use the 6.0 branch or the 8.0 branch? So they should be non-breaking changes. Yes? With ASP.NET MVC, like mix them together? Yeah, there's actually a sample that I wrote. It's called Tankster Command. Where I actually do just that. We use Node.js for WebSockets for the real-time communication, and we use ASP MVC 4 for the rest of it. So, and using IIS Node, you can run those side by side. They both work. Like we have socket.io in ASP.NET SignalR in ASP.NET that does sockets. Also really good. I mean, it's just a matter of personal preference. I think, you know, certainly you can build a very scalable application in ASP.NET with WebSockets and .NET 4.5. But, you know, Node is cool, I guess. So it just depends on what you're doing. You know, that's a big debate. I don't really, you know, it's personal preference, and I'm not really going to say one way or another. They'll both work. You know, they'll both work, and they'll both scale. Node is cooler, though. I will say that. Yeah, yes. Sorry, what was that? Instead of using Git for deployments, can you use other source control? Right now, we actually only support Git for the source control type deployment. However, you could deploy that with FTP or using web deploy through the command line. Thank you. Or through the command line. So we support a variety of different methods. It is something we are looking for feedback about. I mean, people have asked for like Mercurial, SVN type deployments. Git is the most common one though for Node.js developers, so that's why we targeted that first. But yeah, it is something that in the future we may offer additional options. Yes? So the question was, how do you delineate between server-side and client-side JavaScript? So for the most part, they're really going to be quite separate. I mean, you're probably, There's probably ways to share files, but I really haven't done that. Usually it's just the client side stuff is in a public folder that gets served, you know, using static file serving, and the server side stuff all gets handled via Node. So I haven't really done anything where you actually share a full JavaScript file between client and server. I certainly can imagine scenarios, especially simple things like, say, your models, you know, your business objects could certainly be shared. I haven't done anything with that, though. I would imagine that people have, but I don't know the answer to that. Yes? Question, is the IntelliSense that is provided in WebMatrix available in Visual Studio 2010? The answer is no. We added it to WebMatrix. A lot of people have asked for that, but it isn't something that, it's not in Visual Studio. It's not something that we have any plans. So the question was, does using that star as the version number for the packages, does that assume the packages will auto-update? No, we only run Node Package Manager on installation of the packages. So if we recycle a web server or something, it's not going to update your packages. I would definitely not advise doing that, though, in production. Like, you're going to want to set them. You'll probably want to set it to, 6.1.star. You'll want the incremental updates that are bug fixes or security fixes, but you're not really going to want to use star in a real-world application. But, no, we won't auto-update them. So, anyone else? Yeah, no problem. So the question was, is Git over HTTPS? You can't use SSH. Correct, yeah. We use HTTPS mainly because the servers are running Windows servers and there's not a great SSH implementation on Windows, at least that I know about. But, yeah, we use HTTPS for Git. Personally, I would like us to use the native SSH Git implementation. It's actually faster. It does a little bit different kind of compression or whatever. But we only support SSL connections right now. So cool. Well, I'll be around. I think we're out of time, so I want to let you guys get to wherever. But thank you very much. And I'll be available if you guys have any other questions. Thank you.